O gracious and most holy God, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us. We have heard so many times these familiar words, these words of life from the gospel. And yet, whenever we come together as a people of God, as a community of faith, we are invited to open our hearts to listen to what you have to say. In the name of Jesus, we humbly pray. Amen. Well, something happened along the way when I was printing my sermon. The letters are so small that I need magnifying glasses in order to read what I had printed. You know, it's kind of like this, you know. And so, okay, so what are we going to do? You know, it is the day for us to encounter the Word of God. And as I was looking at the scripture, John 3:16 and Ephesians, whatever that is, Ephesians 2, verse 8. How many times have you heard these words? What else can I contribute? What else can we contribute to what we have not heard for so many years in our own commitment and our own walk with God? We have the two most beloved passages in the New Testament, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but may have eternal life. I think this is the first thing that I have memorized as a kid, right? You know, it's ingrained in me. You know, it's in my heart. It's in my soul from the very beginning. And the second thing is from Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God. It is not your own doing. And Paul added, it is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, because Paul said, because if you think because if you think otherwise, then you will boast, you will be arrogant. But Paul said, this is the gift from God, so that no one may boast. And so I was looking at the scripture, and I think the only theme that comes to my mind is the whole idea of reconciliation, which is an offering of God from the very beginning. So the gift of God is the gift of reconciliation from the very beginning. So I ran across a story from the Russian Orthodox Church. And in the story, it says that Russians, even to this day, Orthodox Christians in Russia, even to this day, will often go outside to find their own, what they call, postina. And postina in Russian means a shed, a shack, or a small cabin with very sparse or very limited amenities. There may just be a pitcher of water and a basin for you. There may be some food available, but the accommodations, according to the story, is very sparse. Postina is also referred to as the desert. You know, you go out in the desert to experience God. And especially during Lent, this is the time when Russians will go to these small huts or places so that they can find some quiet time, some quiet moment. And they said that in these quiet spaces, they can lift up their arms to the Almighty God and put their hands together in prayer. And it is during this time that they truly experience the goodness and the grace of God. Now, in the tradition, it says that some people will go in and out, just like you're going on a retreat. When you're done, you go home and you continue doing the things that are meaningful to you. But there are those, according to the tradition, that actually live in these places, and they're called, I think it's called postinic. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the right term. But postinics are there to listen to you, to hear your story, to share your story. So if there's anything work to be done in the community, you can actually talk to Postinic and be able to lend a hand. So it's different from a hermit. A hermit basically shuns the world, right? A hermit shuns the world, doesn't want to do anything with the world. A Postinic really is the one who is there and listening to you and offering the gift of reconciliation. And I thought that's an interesting concept. Because I often ask myself, especially during this time of Lent, is there any particular place in my life or in your life where you find a quiet place to be centered, to experience the grace and the goodness of God? So there was a Sunday school class in one of the church, and I don't know where, who took up this whole idea of Postina. And so the Sunday school teacher says, well, class, I invite you to find your own Postina. So the Sunday school teacher assigned one or two or three of the Sunday school children, and they said, find a quiet place. So obviously, one immediately went to the organ. You know, if this is the place, and he found a space, and he said, this is my Faustina, and somehow got a blanket or whatever it is and covered it up, and he said, this is my Faustina, this is my place. Well, the other one found a place under the altar. That's a nice place, isn't it? And she draped something in there, and she said, this is my quiet Faustina, a place for prayer. And then the other one went directly to the kitchen, although our kitchen is very small, right? But some other places, they've got a big kitchen. And so they found, and this individual, this child, found a place under the table in that big kitchen. And they said, this is the place where I can be at peace. And I think it's a good choice, right? Under the kitchen table in the church. So I imagine the envy of those who were not chosen, you know, to find their own Postina. And I imagine also the joy of those who, you know, are pretty much happy in the place that they have. I imagine also that all ideally have been invited to take turns. I'm not sure whether they're willing to take turns, but can you imagine that if they take turns, that this is my quiet place? So I wonder where all of us can find our quiet place to seek peace and to seek quiet, especially during this season of Lent, the fourth Sunday on Lent. We have boundless energy, and I think there's no doubt about that we have an enormous amount of energy. We do the things that are essential. We do the things that are crucial. But the question is, Are we doing the things that are really spiritual, that are really bringing us to Christ? What was noted by Jesus was at the core of the gospel. Because in the gospel, there are about 633 rules in the Old Testament that the Jewish people have to observe. So they are accustomed to doing the right things. But Jesus came precisely because they were so tied up with all of these rules and regulations that they were not really experiencing the goodness, the generosity, and the abundance that comes from God. But before you go into John 3:16, remember Nicodemus, you know, who came, a friend of Jesus in the cover of darkness. Nicodemus came to Jesus and asked, well, how can I inherit this eternal life that you are talking about? Well, Jesus said, one must be born again. How can I be born again? But Jesus said, one must be born from above. One must be born of the Spirit of the living God. And I think for most of us, we wanted to stop right there, the conversation all together. We love to use the phrase, and I hear it in all of the churches that I have been through the years. And this phrase is something familiar to you. I remember when. You ever experience saying that? I remember when. It is nostalgic, isn't it? when you remember when, it brings a flood of memories. And sometimes those memories are good. And sometimes those memories are very difficult to reconcile with. We want to echo the words of Paul when Paul said, you have to be content in all circumstances. Because Paul was saying, I have experienced plenty, I have experienced want, I have experienced suffering, I have experienced persecutions. But Paul said, you have to be content with everything. You see, when suffering is sharp and profound, there is this persistent hope. And I don't know where this hope is coming from. But when there is suffering, and I see it in the faces of church people, wherever they may be, there is this persistent hope. And this hope can only come from a life invested in Christ, a life that is reconciled with Christ. There is this persistent hope that God will meet us in the midst of everything that is happening in our world today. And that is really the good news. And that is really why we have the church. A church, a community of called believers. And because this is Lent, and not only because of Lent, it leads us always to the cross of Christ. And we know that the Christian symbol was not a cross from the very beginning. The Christian symbol at the very beginning was the sign of the fish, but it's kind of hard to make the sign with the fish, right? How do you do that? And the second sign was an anchor. I mean, how do you make a sign of the anchor? Like this, and maybe another one like that. And eventually, you know, the sign of the cross became a part of the Christian tradition, knowing that the cross is not the end, but rather the cross leads to the grave, but the grave leads finally to the joy of the resurrection. There are times when we look for high dramas in the scripture. Well, I know the drama in the church. There are always drama in the church. But there are dramas in the scripture that is so important. My experience as a pastor is that our relationship with God, whether it's a dramatic experience or an ordinary experience, my experience with God is a steady drumbeat of a life in Christ. And sometimes we may miss the beat or the rhythm, but we can catch up. It is an opportunity offered to all of us to catch up. And that is why John 3:16 resonates with me. It's the whole idea of reconciliation, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we are reconciled through Christ. That is our identity. And that is why I think the lesson this morning really fits in. Because during the time of Jesus, there was a heavy emphasis on judgment. And Jesus was there. And Jesus was offering them a different way of being to create order out of disorder. But can you imagine if there is no order in our life and in our relationship? Can you imagine if you're going down through a busy road and all of a sudden you hear all of these flashing red signs and you have to stop at each intersection? Can you imagine if people disobey these rules? There would be absolute chaos and perhaps an anarchy, because, you know, you want to get where you're going and you want people to get out of your way. There is chaos. And Jesus was able to navigate that chaos precisely by saying, I am offering you a different way of living. So that's the big picture of Jesus, who reinvested again, you know, who reinvested again in the people of God called Israel, in the people of God who are here. This is the big picture. You know, I love the hymns that we sang, but I love this hymn, the lyrics of the hymn, you know, Come Thou Fount of Blessing. You know that hymn very well. It keeps coming back at me, especially where it says, prone to leave, prone to wander, and prone to leave the God that we love. The last of the line of the stanza says, but here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. I love that. Because how many times when we wander off from the love and from the grace of God. I know that you will be talking about the prodigal son through the women's retreat, wandering off away from the hand, from the love of God, and yet God brings us back together. And there's this wonderful story. It was written by, well, actually it was relayed by Barbara Brown Taylor. And Barbara Brown Taylor wrote about a man whom I'm not sure whether he encountered this man or read about his work. This man was born blind. But according to Barbara Brown Taylor, this man can recognize light and recognize darkness as well. And she wrote that this man, when he is joyful, when he is happy, when everything is happening the way he is expecting, he can notice shades of light and he can navigate his way around. But when he is sad, according to this story, it's total darkness and he can never navigate his way. Well, in 1944, during the Nazi war and the horror of Nazi Germany, this man was sent to Buchenwald, Buchenwald prison, and so he was in a confined space with many other prisoners. Well, he said that when there is love in my heart, I can find my way through, but when there is hatred, even in that confined space, I cannot find my way through. And finally, according to the story, he finally recognized and said, I will refuse. I will refuse to make hatred a part of my emotion. I will refuse to turn off the light without my consent. And that made a difference in his life because he refused to turn off the light of sadness, the light of hatred, without his consent. And that made a difference in his own life. So when we take a look at John, especially John 3:16, Jesus presented the big picture, that is to say, this is what happens when we believe in Christ. We refuse darkness to be a part of our lives. We refuse to turn off the light without the consent of Jesus. So that's the big picture. Now, the details of how to navigate this big picture is from the gospel, from the letters of Paul to the book of Ephesians, where he said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing, but this is the gift of God. Already reconciling and already working in our lives. So when I look at the scripture this morning and our life of faith, especially during this Lent, I imagine God smoothing out the edges of our faith. I imagine God constantly smoothing out the edges of our faith so that we can be closer and closer to Him. We have our own success, isn't it, as a church, as a community, success and or failures in our Christian walk. But that is not how we are defined. not our success, not even our failures. We are not defined by that. We are defined by a different story. We are defined by the love of God because we are heirs for Christ, who created us beautiful and who created us in His image, in His good image. There are times when I look at the Bible, and as I close, I look at the story of Joshua. Remember, Joshua was promised to go into the promised land. But the people of God were hesitant to go into the promised land to claim, you know, the gift that God has given them. And the people told Joshua, well, you know, we're okay here with Canaan. You know, there's a lot of good fruits and big grapes and milk and honey in this place. Why do we have to cross into the promised land? But God said, go and be on your way. The people said, well, you know, I want to stay here for a little while. But God changed all of that because we are defined by God's grace through the life of Christ. And what do we do when we are defined by the grace of God in our lives? Isn't it we kneel? Isn't it that we pray? Isn't it that we extend a hand of hospitality? Isn't it we sing? Isn't it we read the scripture? Isn't it that we break bread and we drink from the cup, the symbol of God's lifeblood to all of us? We do all of these things because we know that God will continue to reconcile us, to bring us closer to Him. Not only this time during Lent, but throughout our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.